Just as I am thine own to be, friend of the young who lovest me, to consecrate myself to thee, O Jesus Christ, I come. In the glad morning of my day, my life to give, my vows to pay, with no reserve and no delay, with all my heart I come. I would live ever in the light, I would work ever for the right, I would serve thee to thee I come. Just as I am young, strong, and free to be the best that I can be, for truth and righteousness and thee, Lord of my
I want to welcome all of you to this worship service in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our precious Savior. For the sake of those that will eventually hear this recording, I'll introduce who is up front with me this morning. My name is Mike Moores. Brother Isaac Williams will be bringing the invocation. Brother Josh Vanderswag, the offertory. Brother Mike Estel, the benediction. And we are blessed this morning to have with us a guest minister, Brother Elder Scott Nixon from the South Chrysler Restoration Branch. I consider Scott a true brother in Christ. And I appreciate your continued prayerful support for him as he stands to deliver that message that the Lord has placed upon his heart. A few days ago, I went to try a new supplement. And I grabbed the little pill bottle and I tried to read the recommended dosage. And it was not legible. I just kept getting further, and it just wasn't going to happen. And so I went to the kitchen window and looked at it. And what wasn't clear became clear because I went to the light. That is my prayer today, that we simply come to the light. And we will be honoring our graduates this afternoon. And if anything, I would give you that counsel, that when things are not clear, simply go to the light, the source of light, which is our Father in heaven. As a call to worship, I have two scriptures. The first one from the book of John, chapter 3, beginning with verse 21. But he who loveth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest. And he who obeyeth the truth, the works which he doeth, they are of God. and from the book of Ether, chapter 1. And these are the words of our Lord to the brother of Jared, beginning with verse 108. For behold, I am the Father, I am the light, and the life, and the truth of the world. Come unto me, O ye Gentiles. Let us turn to hymn number 328 for our opening hymn. Number 328.
For giving me the ability to be here today, and ask that you send your Spirit to be with us, all the men up front and with all the congregation, that we might be able to take that Spirit home with us and have it the remainder of the week and minister unto us, and that we may be able to share our experiences with others. And I thank you for all the things that you've given us. And in Jesus Christ's name I pray, amen.
The offertory, I'd like to read out of Genesis, and this is a well-known story, but I'll read just a few verses of it. It's Genesis chapter 22, verses 9 through 16. And it says, He said, Behold the fire in the wood, but where is the lamb of the burnt offering? And Abraham said, My son God will provide himself a lamb for burnt offering. So they went before both of them together, and they came to the place of which God had told him. And Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order, and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And Abraham said, Here am I. And the Lord said, Lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only Isaac, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind a thicket there was a ram caught in it by his horns. I've been reading out of Genesis quite a bit recently, and in preparation for this, I was thinking, you know, that takes a lot of guts to offer your son as an offering to the Lord. And I was just thinking, you know, whether it's our talents, our gifts, money, you know, all the things above, there's, you know, we're not sacrificing our sons, you know. At this time, I just wanted to think about the time that we can lift up our offering to the Lord and in humbleness, think about the things that we can share with each other. And for the Lord's purposes, we pray with me. Our Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for this day. We thank you, Lord, for just the opportunity for us to be together as saints, Lord, to worship you and to learn more about you, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for just the many gifts and blessings that we have been given by you, Lord, that we are undeserving of, Lord. We ask, Lord, at this time that you will help us to humble ourselves and to open our eyes and our ears and to give those gifts at this time. We ask, Lord, that the monies will be blessed for your purposes, Lord, and for a higher cause. We thank you and praise you in your name, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Brothers and sisters, the message that I bring this morning, I feel, came rather quickly to me this past week. It's very simple. Nothing new, I'm sure, will be shared with you this morning. The message has to do with light of Christ. It has to do with family. The family of God. And because of that, I want to read one of my favorite scriptures, part of section 65. And it begins with a most important word. Pray. I'm going to read section 65, 1D through F, for a call to worship, or an opening scripture. It says here, pray unto the Lord. Call upon his holy name. Make known his wonderful works among the people. Call upon the Lord that his kingdom may go forth upon the earth, that the inhabitants thereof may receive it and be prepared for the days to come, in the which the Son of Man shall come down in heaven clothed in the brightness of his glory, to meet the kingdom of God which is set up on the earth. Wherefore, may the kingdom of God go forth, that the kingdom of heaven may come. That thou, O God, may be glorified in heaven, so on earth, that thy enemies may be subdued. For thine is the honor, power, and glory forever and ever. Amen.
Breathe on me, breath of God. Fill me with life anew, that I may love what thou dost love and do what thou wouldst do. Breathe on me, breath of God, until my heart is pure, until
sisters, I too would greet you in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It's such a joy and a blessing to be able to meet with friends and family and share together, to worship together. I bring you greetings from your brothers and sisters at South Chrysler, and truly, it's a joy to see you. It's been a little while since we were last here, and always a joy to come into this house of worship and worship with you and share together. It's always good when we can share together, especially as family, to worship as we do. And while, you know, I look out and I see so many familiar faces, I don't know all of you, I don't know all of your names, and I don't know you well, some I do, but I so appreciate seeing you again and seeing your smiles, and I know of the good works and the blessing of the Lord that is in this place, and it's always a joy to be here and to worship with you, to look upward together as family. And that's in part what I want to talk about a little bit this morning, this family that the Lord is working together with us if we're willing to become one, of one heart and one mind knitted together. Several years ago, Julie and I went and shared in ministry in Norfolk, Nebraska, Little Branch. Perhaps you've been up there. Wonderful people, but a small group there in Norfolk. And we walked in. I don't think there were probably 10 people there, including ourselves that morning. But such a wonderful spirit, saints. It felt like it feels here. It felt like home. We'd never been there before, but we walked in and felt that wonderful spirit, that kindred spirit. We met those people for the first time that day. Had a really nice experience. Good worship, good class. A beautiful time together. Enjoyed a simple meal together. us and those eight other people. And then it was time to leave. And as we got in the car, and they had all walked out of the building, we all walked out at the same time. And we got in the car, and it was a nice warm day. The windows were down. They said our last goodbyes, and I backed up, and we waved, and they waved with big smiles. And my eyes filled with tears. And my heart felt like we were leaving long-lost family. How is it that this is possible? We'd only met them 2 or 3 hours earlier. Felt like we were leaving long-lost family. How is it that in this gospel of Jesus Christ can this happen? It's the work of the Spirit, isn't it? He's always at work in us. I think this is the work of the Holy Spirit, that greater portion of the Spirit that the Lord has gifted upon us, within us. You know, the Holy Spirit is given to everybody born into this world. But when we're confirmed members of this, the Church of Jesus Christ, through the blessing, the laying on of hands, through the becoming members, being confirmed members of this church, there's an added portion of that Spirit that begins to go to work in us at that time. Again, as much as we will allow. And it's at work, always, bringing us together as family. It's the gospel bonds. These are the ties that bind our hearts in Christian love, as we sing sometimes. The love of the saints. And I feel that here and in so many other places that we've been able to visit with in recent years. It's a joy to experience. And I encourage you to occasionally maybe go and visit another branch and share with them and see how it is the Lord works when we meet one another and share together in worship. A few weeks ago, we went out to Knobnostra, Missouri. We've only been there a couple of times. Michael Brown is the pastor, and perhaps you know them well. I don't know. We did not, but we shared there and had the very same experience, the similar feelings of kinship, of family immediately. And there were a much larger branch, of course, but the same loving spirit, the same beauty of the classes as we shared this morning, and everybody shared so well their thoughts. And you can tell how the Lord is working with us all and bringing us together, similar thoughts, similar hopes, similar goals, the work of the Spirit bringing us together. And you know, as we were leaving that day from Knobnostra, there's a good brother there we had met a couple of times before. And he handed Julie a couple of CDs. You know how we just copy CDs of sermons through time. It was a kind gesture, a nice gift. And we got home and we looked at those CDs and I couldn't believe it. He gave us one of those two, was most meaningful to Julie and I. Written on the CD itself, it gave the speaker's name, it gave the dates, and it gave the topic. And I said, wait a minute, this is it. This is the CD that I've wanted a copy of this service for 40 years. I'd always wished I had one. The CD that I wished I had had all this time, it was a ministry from High Priest Ken Briggs, topic of sanctification, and the date on it was September 18th, 1983. And so, this was a beautiful message, one I wanted to study. I remembered I was at that service. By the date, that is quite old, September 18th, 1983, almost 40 years ago, come this September, and I know that not because I'm good at math, but because Julie and I's anniversary is 40 years ago this September. We were at that service. Julie and I had cut our 3-day honeymoon short by one day so that we could be at that service. At the time, we were members of the Enoch Hill RLDS Young Adult Choir, and we had the special music that morning, and it was a memorable service, of course. And we sang, of course, in the choir and the special music that day, "Great and marvelous are thy works, O Lord, above Almighty One." A very special meaning to us, listening to that CD again and that ministry and thinking of all the ways that the Lord has brought us together and woven our lives together in those 40 years as we have shared with people in the gospel. A very meaningful time, obviously, to this. And how is it that this good brother gave us this CD of all the CDs that are out there, all the recordings, that we would receive such a wonderful gift that day from a fellow we'd seen and met a couple of times before. Again, he felt like family. He is family, part of this family of God. And I couldn't help but think of how we've all been brought together in so many different ways. So I thought about the others too. I counted, I think it was 10 to 12 people that were in that choir 40 years ago that we now worship with at South Crystal. And the ties that bind. And I was thinking too, you know, I have ties with this branch that go back further than 40 years because Brother Lee and Sister Rita Botiford and their daughter Donna and son Billy, we were family in the gospel long before I moved here from Texas to Independence long ago. And even though the years pass, and they pass so quickly, the gospel bonds aren't made weaker over time, are they? We may not talk for a year or two at a time, but our feelings, the inner workings of the Spirit, grows and grows and grows stronger. The closer we each grow, dear saints, to our Heavenly Father, the closer we come to the Lord Jesus Christ, our bonds with each other grow greater as well. How wonderful it is to share in this work, in this beautiful gospel work in these latter days with all of you. Such a joy to see how the Lord works in our lives. Hymn number 457 says, "Blessed be the ties that bind our hearts in Christian love. The fellowship of kindred minds is like to that above." Think about that. Like to that above. That's what we want. We want to be like those who are above. That's why I read from section 65, where it talks about the future and the past, reminding us that in a day not so distant, I believe, that heaven and earth are going to come together again to a people here prepared from those of old who await that day in heaven. Dear saints, we're blessed in this great association, and we should embrace and pray and think often of these things that our minds can't fully comprehend, the coming together of heaven and earth. How is that going to happen? But we have to become one people, one heart, one mind. And it's the work of the Holy Spirit in us that can bring that about. And just like I believe this Holy Spirit of God is the power by which we are brought together in our day now, uniting us in family in this gospel even today, it's the continuation of that Holy Spirit that opens our eyes more spiritually, further to understand as we grow in our Lord Jesus Christ. Lecture number 5 from the Lectures of Faith, paragraph Q through S, says it this way. "And all those who keep his commandments shall grow up from grace to grace and become heirs of the heavenly kingdom and joint heirs with Jesus Christ, possessing the same mind, being transformed into the same image or likeness, even the express image of him who fills all in all, being filled with the fullness of his glory, and become one in him, even as the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are one. Plain enough to hear the words, but how that works, how that unfolds, has to be the work of the Spirit within us. This to me cannot be a man-made thing for a group all at once to become one. This has to be an inward, individual effort that finds our hearts focusing on Christ, focusing on the light that comes forth from Him. Not a man-made effort to organize ourselves together, but rather an intense burning of desire within our souls, our minds made up once and for all, ready and willing to do whatever it takes, whatever's needed, to finally become the people God created us to be, a people diligent in keeping His commandments. Yea, a people diligent in keeping His commandments joyfully. And then in turn, the good influence of these families, us as individuals, families doing these things, growing together, and in our branches, the good influence of these branches has its good effects on each other, drawing ever closer to truly being of one heart and one mind. I don't believe that we as individuals are so different from those who existed on the earth in the day of Enoch. I believe we're all basically the same, capable of the same growth, under the power and the endowment of priesthood when the Lord chooses to bring that forth. We can respond in the same manner as the city of Enoch responded to the truth of God. This is how God has worked in the past, and we know that He is an unchanging God and how He will work now and in the future as well. And I want to share a testimony this morning with you. One I'm pretty sure I've shared here before. But I felt led to share it again this morning. It has to do with the light of Christ and His desire for us to look upon that light with intensity. It's a simple story, really, a simple testimony. It was in the spring time of a year. I want to say it was about 20 years ago. And I was ready for church early, so I was out in our backyard that morning waiting for my family to get ready to come to church, to go to church. And beautiful day. Beautiful blue sky, bright, crisp orange sun in the eastern sky. All the grass was turning green. Birds were singing. And it was time to go, so I turned to go back to the house, and I stopped when I looked down and saw the beauty of a row of flowers that my wife had planted there. Daffodils, I think they were. One flower on each stem, 10 or 15 of those lined up there. Beautiful. In that morning light, every one of those flowers was facing that sunlight and drinking that intensity in a way that was most amazing to look upon. You know what I mean when I say it's so bright that you close your eyes and it's so you still see the imprint in your eyelid. It just burns. The brightness was so beautiful. And I looked at that scene and I just was amazed. And then I went on, got my family, went to church, forgot all about those flowers until later that evening. I was, for some reason, walking by that area again later in the day, and I came up upon the row of flowers, and I looked, and I couldn't believe my eyes. I stopped suddenly again. What had happened? You know, we learn in third grade that foliage and flowers and leaves still follow the course of the sun as it courses across the sky during the day. And now this entire row of flowers that was drinking in that morning sunlight looking to the east that morning, well, now the entire row all the flowers had turned themselves 180 degrees facing that evening sun in the west, drinking in that light. I couldn't believe my eyes. I got down on my knees, and I held one flower, and I turned it to see what would happen, and it snapped right back, like you would guess it would. There was such an intensity, a quiver in those flowers, drinking in that light of the sun. Just beautiful. I should have known then and there the Lord's trying to teach me something, because all things in this world bear record of Him. And I went on my way and quickly forgot the flowers again, until it was 2 or 3 days later. I was home from work and needed working on a project at home there. I needed to go back to my tool shed to get something. I was almost trotting. I was running. I was in a hurry. And I ran by that row of flowers and I stopped again. And I couldn't believe my eyes. I looked down at that row of flowers. It wasn't even a row anymore. There was no brightness. No two flowers were looking the same direction. What happened? They looked like they'd been trampled, but I knew that wasn't so. What happened? And then I looked up. It's amazing how it is, and I know you know what I'm talking about when I say this, how the Holy Spirit can instantly give you a new understanding you've not known before. You don't necessarily hear the words, but a new understanding comes. And immediately I looked up. It was a dark and a cloudy day. And immediately under the influence of the Spirit, my eyes were filled with tears. And brothers and sisters, I'm not one to cry over broken flowers. But I stood there that day with the Holy Spirit resting upon me, and I understood that when the day comes that my branches will look to the brightness of the Son of God with intensity, then there will be a common likeness, unity and brightness that the world will not be able to pass by without stopping to take notice. The work of the Spirit, trying to teach me a lesson. And the part of the testimony that I would ask you to remember and to think about is that I saw shaking intensity in those flowers, drinking in that sunlight as I knelt down and looked at them on that second day. That second experience, drinking in that sunlight with intensity. We should see witness of God in earthly examples like this, as I said before, because all things bear record of Him. We need to focus upon the light of the sun, not S-U-N, but S-O-N, the light of Christ. Focus on Him with intensity as we never have before. His life, His doctrine, to know Him, to love Him, to study Him, to spend time with Him in prayer, and to listen to Him most of all. Here we are in the springtime again, albeit a bit cool this morning. A wonderful time of year, beautiful blue skies, beautiful sunrises and sunsets, warmer temperatures, singing birds. How beautiful His creation is. Have you seen the apple blossoms and the peach blossoms? They're beautiful. And then there's the storms. And no, we don't like the storms with the tornadoes in them, but I love a good springtime thunderstorm that clears the air. And to hear the quake and the power of the thunder, it reminds me of how spectacular God is. Sometimes afterwards, we're also blessed with a sign in the sky. And I wonder how you view and think upon the rainbow. The world's kind of turned the meaning and the purpose of the rainbow upside down like everything else. But God put it there for a reason. I want to read from Genesis 9, 20 through 23. You know the words well. And it shall come to pass when I bring a cloud over the earth that the bow shall be seen in the cloud, and I will remember my covenant which I have made between me and you for every living creature of all flesh, and the water shall no more become a flood to destroy all flesh. And the bow shall be in the cloud, and I will look upon it, that I may remember the everlasting covenant which I made unto thy father Enoch, that when men should keep all my commandments, Zion should again come on the earth, the city of Enoch, which I have caught up unto myself. And this is mine everlasting covenant, that when thy posterity shall embrace the truth and look upward, then shall Zion look downward, and all the heavens shall shake with gladness, and the earth shall tremble with joy, and the general assembly of the church of the firstborn shall come down out of heaven and possess the earth, and shall have place until the end come. This is mine everlasting covenant, which I made with thy father Enoch. The bow, the rainbow. How absolutely beautiful. But how do we view that? Do we see it as a reminder of Zion? That's exactly why God put it there. Do we stop our cars when we see one to worship Him? Do we stand in our backyards in wonderment? Do we ask our Lord, how is it going to happen? Because it's going to. It's going to. And He's placed that beautiful sign in the sky. And the world, of course, they see it another way. We're teaching our children in the schools that it's a meteorological phenomenon made by a refraction, dispersion of light and the droplets of water, and you know that's true. This is how the world sees it, and you know it's true. The world cries out, we need to believe the science, and of course we can when that's true, but they don't know that science belongs to God, do they? They don't know that it's all His, in His omnipotence, that He created all things, and the physical laws obey Him. There were no rainbows in the sky before the great flood. And by God's design, the rains do cause the droplets to refract the colors from the light of the sun that creates the rainbow after the sun or after the rain has fallen. Science is true. It is of God. This is how He did it. But the science never gives us understanding of who put it there and why it was put there. And so the need again to focus on the light of Christ, to focus on Him, His Word, the movement of His Spirit, to understand everything that's going on around us, and to understand and realize the holy purpose that He has placed in everything that He has created. Yes, we need the science books. We need to learn. We need the discoveries, as long as what they teach is true. But more than all of this, we need the Scriptures. And we need the experiences with Him, brought about by the movement of that Holy Spirit that's been placed inside of each of us, that we might ask every single day and look upward every single day and gaze upon the beauty of creation. He's omnipotent, omniscient, omnipresent. And yet, He still prefers to work through us, through mankind. He always has, and I suppose always will, since He never changes. And I've often thought that when we consider the need of things to change in this world and the powers that exist and God's power. I've wondered about the fact, I think, that perhaps the most powerful thing that is on this earth is a faithful saint in prayer. With true faith being able to literally move mountains, what could be more powerful than a faithful servant of God with focused intent toward the holy will of the Creator of all things? A faithful saint in prayer is another example of heaven and earth coming together, isn't it? The power that results, of course, is indeed the power of God. But the faithful saint brings the desire to pray, to open the door, to allow that Spirit to enter into our hearts. But we forget sometimes to pray. We forget. So the Lord brings us into these families and asks us to come together often, to share together the experiences that are ours, to remember the basics and to do them. And to also remember that even the best of us have that need to be reminded so often as well. I ran across a testimony I want to share with you of Oscar Case, out of one of Oscar's books, a testimony in which he had set aside the thought of prayer for a little while, and he was corrected through this experience. Just another example for us to think upon. One evening he was sitting at dinner with his wife. They got a call, an urgent call. There was a very sick little boy, 175 miles away, who was dying of pneumonia. The call said, "Come as quickly as you can and bring Grandpa Leach with you." I'm not sure of the relations here, but he went over to get Brother Leach, who was also an elder. They had only just a few minutes to get to the 8 o'clock train. Oscar drove quickly over to get Brother Leach. Said, "Come on, get your hat and coat. We have to get to the train. It's leaving right now." Oscar took Grandpa Leach by the arm and said, "Let's hurry." And Brother Leach said, "Hold on a minute. We need to have prayer first." Oscar said, "But we can pray on the way to the train. Let's just get in the car and go." He said, "No. No, I will not go without prayer first." Brother Case then said, "Okay, but you do the praying." And they got down on their knees and he began to pray. And Oscar wrote, "I thought he was never going to get through." But he finally did. And Oscar, of course, hurried them on to the train station. They drove as quickly as they could. As they turned the corner, there was the train still there. Several minutes late. And Oscar, they ran to jump on the train, and he asked the conductor, "Is this train late?" And he responded in a most frustrated and angry way. He said, "Yes, and I don't have any idea why." When they arrived at the house, they met a nurse on the porch, just to tell you the rest of the story, who wasn't going to let them in at first because this little boy was so very sick. And they said, "Well, you better go get the boy's father because we're coming in. We've been called to do this." At the bedside, Oscar told the nurse and others there that they should kneel for prayer, and of course she refused. And she told them not to dare touch that little boy. And Oscar said, "You can stand if you wish, but we're going to pray and we're going to lay hands and administer to this little boy in the name of our Lord." And so they had prayer and they administered to the little boy. And it was actually the nurse that said, "Hey, I see a change," immediately. And Oscar told her that she could go home and go to bed if she wished, but the boy was going to be just fine. She refused and stayed. The two elders made it to the hotel about 2 o'clock a.m. that morning. It said they received word about daybreak that the boy was just fine, and the nurse had indeed gone home, and Brother Case wrote there, "A good place for her to be." He says he learned the lesson again that prayer is in order first and foremost, no matter what the hurry. This is a part, a simple part, of our focusing intensely upon our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. And brothers and sisters, I know that the rainbows are made visible as sunlight, you know, refracts through the droplets of water. But its purpose is to remind us of a covenant with Almighty God that is to bring heaven and earth together in our day. I know that prayer is offered in silence or aloud, or out loud, I should say, and that we never see the one who we're praying to. But the purpose in this is for our growing faith. And when faith is present, holy purpose and power is unleashed to heal or to make right the wrong or to move a mountain or to change a stubborn heart so that the kingdom of earth is made ready for the kingdom of heaven to come down. Without faith, we cannot please Him. With faith, we don't only please Him, but we become enjoined with Him. It's a promise. It's an ironclad promise. And when this happens, dear saints, when we do it as a body, the world is not going to be able to pass by when they see what they see without stopping to take notice. I want to close with the verse of a hymn. A familiar hymn to you, at least the first verse, is the following verses from another source. Simply a reminder of faith to us. Oh, for a faith that will not shrink, though pressed by every foe, that will not tremble on the brink of any earthly woe. Oh, for a faith that lifts our eyes upon the higher scene, which knows His hand has made the bow, His call for hearts to sing. Oh, for a faith that chooses Him, embracing all His words, and sees returning gaze above from those who likewise learned. Oh, for a faith that stops the course of empty thrill and greed, that seeks the joy of reunion made, the bride, thy son, and he. May the Lord bless us greatly, as I know we enjoy to worship together and to uplift one another and remind one another to look upon that bright light of Christ every day.
Almighty God, our great and glorious and wonderful Heavenly Father, behold how good and how pleasant it is that the brethren should dwell together in unity. Truly, Father, this morning has broken very much like the first morning. And certainly, the wonderful and powerful, beautiful light of your blessed Son has shone brightly upon us. We pray, Father, that this hour would not end because of a clock. We pray, Father, that this hour might continue for the hours, days, weeks, months, and years ahead in our lives. As we go forward in brotherhood, seeking thy kingdom, both in heaven and upon earth. And as we go, Father, we would ask a blessing upon the feast which we are about to consume. May it bring no harm, but bring only nourishment and strength to our bodies. As your word has done for our spirits, for our souls now, Father, have been strengthened. And we look to you for guidance, that we too might surely become your people, a peculiar people, zealous of good works. And this we pray, Father, in the sweet and blessed name of thine only begotten Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.